One of the great things we have in our church is many laymen that also preach, visitation, do a lot of things behind the scenes. And Lorne has been away for the past 6 months. He serves in our Canadian military as a captain, and he's been in Latvia. So he just returned in December. So we welcome him home, give him a hand, thanking him for his service, and also welcome to bring the word this morning.
God bless you. It's nice to be home. It's real nice to be home in the land of good cooking and food. I must say, I enjoyed my time away, but there's nothing like home. In the presence of my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and you, my friends. I traveled a lot in the last 6-7 months, visited 10 countries, traveled over 30,000 kilometers, seen a lot of things, did a lot of things, and I could sum it up to life. As I look down across the congregation, I could see that you have traveled. You have a life. And your travel is not only measured in the distance, places you've been, but it's measured in time and experience. You have many experiences. I've titled my sermon this morning, The Journey, because we're all on life's journey. Some of us are at the beginning. I've seen little children. That's new to the church for me in the last 6 months, children being born. There are people here who are still in school or post-secondary education. New marriages have happened. And, you know, people are well into their careers. Other people are waiting to retire. I'm in that bracket. Very soon I'll be retiring from the military. Looking forward to that new stage of life for me. We're all on the journey. And, of course, there are some who are just waiting to hit that great beyond and to their final reward, glorification. We all come from different backgrounds and experiences. Some are farmers, carpenters, soldiers, nurses, teachers, doctors, truckers, and the list goes on. There are many variety of things that we do. We start from the beginning, and someday there's going to be an end. It seems that we're all on life's road, traveling, and the second part, and working. To get somewhere, to a destination that has some relevance, some personal, professional reward. But outside the professional and personal reward or ending or purpose, we are also on a spiritual road. We have a spiritual destination. Some say our destination is a place, heaven, and I tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be a good time. It's a place that where the light of God shines, where His presence pervades everything. You will be there. I will be there. The saints of old will be there. Those who believe will be there. And God will have work for us to do, and it will be a good thing. It's wonderful. I want to go. But our destination is not only a place in the beyond. Our destination is to a person, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in this is a wonderful thing. Because as the song said, we were made to glorify the Father here on earth and here in the new heaven and the new earth. This is a wonderful thing. Fixing our gaze on the cross of Calvary. And we got this beautiful cross behind us. Fixing our gaze on that cross, we come to know that there is no greater destination than that which the cross directs us to. For the cross points us to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who redeemed us from our sins, and our sins were great, who has brought us out of the grave. As the song said, He's conquered the grave. No longer are we living in sin and death, but we're brought to redemption and life. Our reward or our consequence is no longer death and hell and eternal damnation and finally oblivion, but to life eternal in the presence of our Father, in the presence of the Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said himself, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare you a place, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. That destination that we move forward to in our earthly life. Pressing forward, leaning forward, striving, working to get to that destination. Knowing that it's already been set at Calvary for those who believe. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus comes back with a wonderful response that we hear so often. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is in John 14:2-6. What a wonderful phrase in that last sentence. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's only one way. There's only one truth, and there's only one life. The world's religions, there are many. Secularism will say, there's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to God. There are many gods. There is only one way. There is only one God, the I Am. There is only one truth. There's one reality, and that is God the Father. He created all reality that we know in space, time, and matter. And that outside, He is the truth. And He is the life. Not only did He breathe life into us to start this journey that we're on in our physical and spiritual dimension, but when we were dead in sin, He brought life through the sacrifice of His life. And as I said before in many other sermons, for us who believe in God, we do not die. We die to the flesh, a body goes into the ground, it turns back to dust, but our soul goes to be with the Almighty. Just another phase of our great journey of existence. Physical life into a spiritual reality where our bodies have been glorified and perfected, where it doesn't decay or die anymore, but eternity with the Father. What a journey we're on. What a reality that we know. We have goals. We've made goals. We've made plans to achieve our destination. And we have a resolve to work, a determination to move forward, to get where we are going. The grandeur of heaven and the deity of God pushes us to want more. Knowing that the love of God has redeemed us, we want to repay that back. We want to honor, we want to worship God. This is a good thing. Not only do we internalize it intellectually, but we feel it. We feel the Holy Spirit within us. And with a true conviction and a true experience, that motivates us. And we want to bring other people along with us as well. That's why we do the work of the kingdom. That's why we take our talents and skills and we use them to the best of our ability. However great or small they are, makes no difference. It's all worthy and worthwhile in the kingdom of God. We all have something to give. God has given us the ability to work, to do some job, some action that advances His will, His purpose, to spread the good news of His Son, Jesus Christ, while we live here on this earth, while we walk with Him through this life. As a side note, I know a woman, and I met with this woman over Christmas. I've known her a long time, probably 35, close to 40 years. And this individual, she suffers with anxiety and depression. And if there's someone who's had it really hard in life, this person has. And there seems to be no solution to it outside of divine revelation and healing from God. And that has not happened yet. For whatever purpose, it hasn't happened. But she's a believer. And in her love for God and in her willingness to work in the kingdom of God, she has a talent. And it's a wonderful talent. She knits. And the one thing that she does, she knits little baby clothes and, you know, different things, and she gives them out to people. And every year she knits a bundle of various articles, and I bring them to First Step Options for her. Now, she lives away, but she wants to serve in this way. Some people would say, that's a small thing. And I would say, that is a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. Giving the talents that she has to the Lord to honor Him, because she loves God. She knows that God loves her. It's a wonderful thing. She's not one to be, say, on stage speaking. She's not one to be in the public. She's in the background doing that wonderful, great work to help out little children in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful thing. She is pressing forward. Like the apostle said, Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Regardless of the issues that she is experiencing in her life, in spite that a miracle hasn't come yet, she's still pressing forward, doing the work of the kingdom to advance the will of God. She is a testimony of faithfulness, even though she is struggling in life. Life is not always easy, is it? Getting to that destination requires perseverance. We have work to do while waiting for our prize moving forward. The work is hard. It requires effort. It requires time. And while thinking about this, of course, you know, preparing any sermon, I started to think about the people, biblical characters, and who struggled all through their life and had tremendous work. And the scripture is all about people who had tremendous work, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Think about Moses leading the people out of Egypt. Think about Daniel, right, in Babylon. Think about Joseph in Egypt. The big work that they had in this huge corporate setting in the nation's work. Think about the prophets and the judges. Think about the disciples going on their missionary journeys. I thought about specifically Paul, who on his life journey on the Damascus Road, per se, you know, here's a guy who's going around killing, well, talking about murdering and you know, threatening the Christians, the new sect of, you know, the Christ followers. And he was so adamant, I'm going to get them all. I'm going to take them down. I'm going to wipe them out. These heretics are gone. But on the road of Damascus, he has this glorious experience. Very, very shocking for him. You know, imagine the fear he must have experienced when the light of God shone around him and the Lord spoke to him. And wow, very humbling. Right? Some might say very dramatic and traumatic. But he came into the presence. He had an experience with Jesus Christ. Wow. And when we have an experience with Jesus Christ, things are never the same again. We don't think the same. Our directions change. Our views on things change. We have a new meaning. We have a new purpose. And this certainly happened to Paul. Paul changed from a persecutor of the gospel to a propagator of the gospel. No longer Would he be part of that people trying to destroy it? He was going to advance it. He knew. He knew the truth. He knew the way. He knew the life. Things changed. Can you remember when you were saved, when you gave your heart to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came into you? Kind of exciting. More than exciting. I remember to this day when it happened. It was like, wow, I feel differently. But I know that things are different. Can you remember what it felt like to be changed through the redemptive work of God when your eyes were open and you could see the spiritual battles around you? There's a spiritual battle being waged. Can you remember when you realized that your existence is more than the physical? That now there are angels and demons, they're fighting in the spiritual realm. And you're being tempted and tested and going through tribulations. That the battles and the things that you're going through are more than the temporal. But now they're the supernatural. That realization and that knowing is motivating to do the work of God and to honor Him and to do His will. Our new life in Christ is more than a feeling, but it's a reality. It changes our relationships with others, and it changes our relationship with God. Like the Apostle Paul, from the moment of conversion, our journey in life's road took new direction. It opened endless possibilities, unknown possibilities, maybe some very specific. If you've got the calling and the Lord directs you to do something very specific in the kingdom of God, then that's a wonderful. It'll give you a more direct focus. But for a lot of us, most of us, we don't know the future. What opportunities may come our way to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But this is all part of the work of God in the kingdom of God. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. I remember back in 2018 when I received the call to preach the gospel around the world for a season. And I thought to myself, how is this ever possible? I was just retiring from being a teacher. I was in the military pursuing that. I was in a dorm room, and the Holy Spirit, I was playing guitar, and the Holy Spirit fell upon me, and I received the calling. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And eight years after, gone the places that I've gone to, Israel, able to play, this is my Father's house. Tell me the story of Jesus in the tomb, in the sepulcher. One experience. To be able to share the gospel in Israel, to go to Thailand, to Ukraine, and Latvia, and the different places I've been. I would have never imagined it. I would have never imagined being in a trench eating a can of buckwheat while missiles are falling around with my friend. Or in a cellar singing and praying to God while missiles fell. I would have never known. But you know, sometimes the work of God is not easy. Sometimes the work of God is it takes resolve and perseverance. As exciting as it sounds, the work of God comes with a disclaimer. It's work. It's rewarding, but it's not always going to be a bed of roses. It may require sacrificing long periods of time out of your daily and yearly schedule, time in which you may be away from family, friends, and colleagues. It may require vast amounts of personal finances or loss of finances, salary, so forth. It may require extended times away from what you enjoy the most. It may even fracture relationships. I've heard people who've given their hearts to the Lord and their families have denied them and put them aside. Isn't that something? It may happen. But the call and the will of God to serve is greater. It may place you in uncomfortable situations even dangerous ones, as I've mentioned already. If we look at the life of Paul himself, we could see that Paul endured great trials and tribulations and tests. For example, in Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. Can you imagine being stoned? Now, let me qualify that. Stone with a rocks. A group of people picking up rocks, jagged rocks. And if you've been to the Holy Land, you know that these rocks are like, they're not smooth, polished rocks. They're jagged. And being hit over and over with rocks until you're left for dead. All for the gospel. Imagine that. I remember as a young kid, I got hit with a rock in the lip, and I still got a scar there now. It's a big bump on my lip. And I was bleeding and stuff like that. I remember how it felt. It wasn't good. Imagine multiple until you're left for dead. Wow. He faced threats and plots against him, robbers. He faced threats and plots to stone him over and over again. He was beaten and robbed. He was imprisoned with Silas. Right, this is the case with the miraculous earthquake. Accused of disrupting the city. Faced opposition from political leaders and from the religious leaders of the time. I've just been told to switch to the pulpit mic. Bear with me. Paul suffered shipwrecks. And in the end, in Rome, he was beheaded and killed. All for the work, all for the call, all for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Paul knew the way, the truth, and the life was Jesus Christ. He was willing to sacrifice it all, put it all on the line, so that his friends, his neighbors, and strangers would come to know the Almighty and inherit heaven to be with God forever and ever. Paul worked hard. He had three missionary journeys, ending with a fourth in Rome. His life was not easy. He could have had a life of very ease, working with the Sanhedrin and, you know, doing his thing. But he chose a life of persecution because he knew who Christ was. But be encouraged, for we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That comes from Ephesians 2 and 10. Christ Jesus for good works. We created for Christ Jesus for good works. And that is exhibited in the work of the kingdom of God. How many can say, give me some of that work? It's not the kind of thing that we would want, right? We don't want a life of trial, tribulation, or turmoil. We want a life that's prosperous, that's happy, around family, a job, getting a good income, being able to pay the bills, prepare for retirement, take it easy, maybe on a lakeside, beachfront property. You know, that seems to be the dream. But that's, as good as that is, that's very temporal. Our existence, as we said, goes beyond. So we have to start building up riches in heaven where they don't decay, where moth don't corrupt and rust don't corrupt. You know? There's something beyond, and this is what we work towards. We don't have to fear about the hard times. We have the greatest roadmap in Scripture to follow, the Holy Word of God, 66 books of Scripture that are infallible, inspired, breathed out by God. We have a great navigator in the Holy Spirit that indwells within you, that directs us along the way, that gives us the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have the testimonies of the saints of old and the saints that are with us now of great and mighty things that have done in their lives. You have testimonies of things that Christ has done in your life that contributes to the work of God that other people can hear and be encouraged and press forward, a
as like Paul said, pressing forward towards the prize. These are things that we put forward in our work. We cannot stop working or give up on the journey, for the spiritual rewards are too great for us. Our heavenly reward and that dimension beyond, our eternal life, our reward. We live forever. We're not thrown into the lake of fire in the last judgment. Our judgment comes as part of the rewards of heaven. We all have, at some time, experienced joy and stuff like that, but it pales in comparison to the work of God. We suffer, but yet it pales to the glory of God and that what awaits us in the future. As believers in Christ, followers of the Most High God, infilled with the Holy Spirit, we never, absolutely never retire from the work of the kingdom of God. We work until our final breath. Till our final breath. Maybe for some that comes as a surprise. If we believe in God, we believe in the redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, and we experience the Holy Spirit within ourselves, that is enough to motivate us to work in some capacity till our last breath, and then we move on into glory. This is a wonderful thing. It doesn't matter what phase of life we are in, our health conditions, even if we're bedridden, there's still work to be done because we have a voice, and those who come around us, we still share the gospel, and we still praise. Think about Paul and Silas, once again, in prison. Right? Who around? Who can they minister to? And what are they doing? They're found praying and singing praises to God in a prison. How wonderful is that? They've taken an opportunity in their dire situation, potentially threat of death. And in all things, they are praising God, doing the work of God. Wonderful that is. Doesn't matter our financial state, our family dynamics, social disposition, there is always something that we can do in life's journey for the cause of Christ. We who are in the faith work to advance the call of salvation. And we will always advance the will of God. And this is our testimony that we have. Allowing our Father to use us according to His perfect will. And that's a big statement, allowing. Right? Because we can say no. Right? We can say no, and God will try to convince us. Think about the story of Jonah. No, sir. He wasn't going to have none of that. Preach the gospel to those heathen Ninevites. Ain't going to happen, Lord. Not going to do it. Going to run away. Going to get away from it. Not going to do your work. Not today. And the Lord says, okay, well, I'm just going to give you some little options here. And God prepares this great big fish, swallows him in 3 days and 3 nights in the deep. Well, Jonah was convinced by God. Jonah could have said no, and that was it. And then he would have been fish fodder. Could have been, but he didn't. He was smart enough and intelligent enough to realize where his error was. And I know in times in my life, I've walked away from the will of God, and I've been reprehended, and thank God He loves me enough to discipline me. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a Father who loves us so much that He will correct us and discipline us and put us back on the right road. He loves us so much, He doesn't want us to go astray, but bring us back into the fold of His love and of His care. How wonderful is that? 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 reads this. It's a wonderful verse of encouragement. It says, and you can read it softly or you can read it strong. It reads like this. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, can you imagine? My brother, be ye steadfast. Regardless of what happens, be steadfast. Be unmovable when those people tell you that you're foolish. You ever been told that you're foolish, that what you believe is a myth, or what you're doing is a waste of time? Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work, because the work never stops. There's always much work. The harvest field is ripe, and there's few workers. We need more workers to get out to harvest. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. I find this encouraging. Well, it's the new year. We're just a few days in. We've established priorities, maybe confirmed new ones, old ones. Some people make resolutions. I can't keep resolutions, so I don't make them. It's rough, right? I'm always saying, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to lose weight. Well, I could lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds. Don't take no effort in doing that. But it also takes no effort in putting it back on. It may take 6 months to lose it, and 2 months I got it back on. I was doing great in Latvia. I got to tell you, the first few months there was sunny. It was wonderful. I was in a small camp, and I would just walk around that camp listening to gospel music, whatever I was doing, having a good time, take an hour walk here in the afternoon during lunch, and then after supper, do another walk, talk to the wife, doing good. The weight was coming off. I wasn't really into the cafeteria food. And then by the third month, I started to get into the cafeteria food. It was good. It was starting to get a little bit chilly. It was starting to rain. And the 20, 25 pounds I'd taken off was starting to come back on. You know, back wasn't feeling great. And then by the end of it, I was like, where's the McDonald's? Any McDonald's around? Any restaurant? And I got to tell you, Latvian food, find a lot of good restaurants, but not as good as, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, great to have good intentions. But if I'm not abounding in the work and being steadfast and unmovable, struggling. It's a new year. But we can make new priorities in our spiritual walk with Christ, in the spiritual work with Christ. And perhaps we need to ask ourselves, and I need to ask myself, am I allowing God to use me in his kingdom in the way that he wants me to use me? Not just in my own mind, in my own heart, the way I think God wants to use me, but in the way that God wants to use me. How can I be useful in God's kingdom? Are there new opportunities? Perhaps I need to put more effort into what I'm doing. Am I seeking opportunities to be used by God? Use me, Lord, and that's my prayer. Use me, Lord. And this is PPT's prayer. Use us, Lord. Use us in a way that is pleasing to you. The Apostle Paul declares in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a wonderful thing. That's a testimony of himself saying that. And perhaps on our last breath, when our time is up and God calls us home, we can be found saying of ourselves, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and 7, that comes from. Then maybe we will hear God say to us, like the master who gave his servant some talents and to go out and invest them. And the one who invested the talents properly, what did the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Can you imagine being in front of the throne room of God? And he's looking at you among all the hosts of heaven. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. As opposed to, I don't know you, depart from me. Whoa, that's a big one, isn't it? What a contradiction. I don't know you, But Lord, I did everything I could. But you didn't do it with the heart. You didn't do it with my heart. Depart from me. But well done, good and faithful servant. Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Usually, time is not a factor. If I got to preach a sermon, I preach a sermon. But this is a short one. God has called every one of you and has called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily preaching on stage, but to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. To work in his kingdom to advance those who do not believe in him to believe and inherit eternal life with God in heaven. We were created to glorify God, and the way to glorify God is to work in his kingdom for his will. It is a very serious call that we have. It is the Great Commission to go into the world preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No one is exempt from that call. If you have the love of Christ in you, you have the peace, the understanding, the comfort, and the fruits are abounding within you, we have the call to share the gospel. And in 2026, I believe we're going to see new opportunities for the work of God in this community of Pembroke and Petawawa and the communities outside, and even in the world, there'll be opportunities for us to show God's love and show God's work. I thank you for listening to this message. Now, if this is live, I'm not sure if this is live or not, but I'm sure this message is going to be put out into social media realm. And I'm talking specifically to people who will listen to this message. Probably you haven't listened to, have come to church or listened to a message like this in a long time, or maybe never. I speak directly to you. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a heaven to lose. And if you lose heaven, your destination is hell. That's a reality. If you're living in sin, there's good news. And that good news that we've been talking about is Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in sin. You can live in life and have life eternal with him. And I want to pray with you. And the congregation will pray silently with me as well. And if you want to have that life, do you want to have Jesus Christ and to start a new life, you pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and my Savior. I am a sinner. I repent of my sins and ask for forgiveness. Restore in me a clean heart and a desire to serve you. Help me to walk in your ways as your Holy Spirit leads me. All glory, honor, and praise belongs to you. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, no longer are you lost. You have now inherited heaven. You are a child of God. No longer do you have to live in sin and shame, for that is all gone. All that condemnation is gone. You are on a new journey of life, a new phase, and your work in the kingdom of God is just starting. I encourage you to, if you want encouragement, please call Pembroke Pentecostal Church, and there will be someone there waiting to talk to you, and we look forward to talking to you. God bless. May I pray? Our Heavenly Father, God of heaven, and the hosts of heaven, may your love continue to shine, and it will. May the love of Christ be revealed in our lives as we work to fulfill your will. We thank you for the many blessings that you have showered upon us. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your presence. May your Holy Spirit continue to speak life into us And Lord, may we return that life back to others. Help us to serve you in the way that you would have us serve you. May we be not found wanting and failing, but found working in your harvest field, bringing in the crop. We love you, Father. May we be pleasing to you in all things. We just love you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.